Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Scream Geeks Radio, episode 82. This is Dave.
And Melissa.
And Barry is off having a nice little vacation in Steamboat. And Ethan is at the yearly gathering of the Joshua Jackson Appreciation Society. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a joke from before you were here. But hopefully someone appreciates that little gag. This is going to be a pretty stinking short episode because I know everyone wants to talk about Explorers, and Josh is off having fun doing his own little thing and should be back next week.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yes. Recovering from the fourth. We'll just, yeah. That works. And so I know everyone wants to talk Explorers, so we're actually going to put it off for a week. But instead of just not doing a show at all, I wanted to get something out there at least, talk some news, talk some releases, and we'll let you get on about your week. So, you know, the only thing that I watched is one of the things you watched, which would be 500 Days of Summer, which we can't talk about yet. Bummer.
Woohoo.
But I felt like I needed to say something. Oh, I did start from the Earth to the Moon, the HBO series directed by Tom Hanks, and it's pretty stinking good. I don't know if you've watched Band of Brothers or anything like that at all. Very much in the same vein.
But it's sci-fi?
No. It's about, like, the actual space race to the moon in the 60s. Like, when JFK was talking about starting the NASA program. And
That's interesting.
It is really good.
I've never seen a preview for that either, so.
It's, like, 12 hours long. You can get it at Walmart for $13. There's my news. I'll save the other thing for the news segment. But, yes, it's well worth checking out so far, just that first hour in. So I'll let you talk about what you watched and get your two cents in on some recent things.
Okay, well, I did see Transformers 2.
And
I don't know, it's hard to describe because I really went into this, I was in a very bad mood before I saw this. And usually that just ruins my movie experience, regardless of if the movie's good or not. I'm very temperamental. So if I'm just not happy about something or not feeling good, it usually makes me hate the movie, which is not fair. But anyway, I was really trying to hate this because I had felt so much pressure from everyone that it was so bad and that I was going to hate it so much. I really genuinely thought I was going to dislike this much more than I did. But I really kind of bought into it, I think. And I haven't seen Transformers 1 in a while, so I didn't really care. I was never, like, a super fan of that movie or anything.
So you weren't invested in the canon and deep, intricate storylines of the Transformers universe?
No.
Okay.
But, I don't know, the opening scene with, you know, really old cave people finding the Transformers, I felt like that didn't work for me at all, and it was very short. And then it was just like, oh, here's the Transformers. Like, they just had to be like, we're friends with the Transformers now, like, establishing what was happened with mankind and the Transformers, but that just didn't work for me at all. And actually, when it started, I kind of wasn't even sure if the film had started yet, because I was like, wait, why are there, like, ancient cave people? It made no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, that was kind of odd. I really didn't hate Megan Fox as much as I thought I would either. I actually felt like her wardrobe choices were awesome. I mean, for the most part, she really... I mean, I agree with Ethan, and I will say this just for you. It's like, yeah, she's very stereotypical. She's so, like, portrayed as hot, and I don't like that about it, but I liked that there was some form of, like, a loving relationship between Shia and Shia and Megan. So,
yeah.
That, even though it was cheesy and lame, but at least they tried to, like, have some kind of connection instead of her just being fluff, even though she really was. I mean, what was the point of her being in the movie? So she could scream Sam the whole movie? I mean, really, that was very annoying.
Now, did you read the thing over at Slash Film about her talking about working with Michael Bay?
No, I didn't.
She's like, this is not an actor's movie. Like, I'm never going to have to emote or anything. I know that if I'm going on screen, I'm running around screaming. That's pretty much all that I do. And I agree with Chris. You know, you could have had the mannequin for Mannequin, you know, be in the spot. But that's not even so much knocking on Megan Fox necessarily because, like she said, it's not exactly a taxing role.
Well, at least she admitted that herself. I mean, maybe in upcoming movies that she has, she can actually act or something. I don't know. I would be interested to see that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't as bothered by her, and I actually thought that her character was a little cute sometimes. It was like when she put on the little dress and wanted him to say I love you before he left for college, whatever. But so that was okay. That was refreshing because I just thought I was going to be like, oh, you stupid whore the whole time. But I wasn't. So it felt like problems with the movie they were just, when they got to Egypt, they were in Egypt so long. Why were you in Egypt for so long? Like, I just felt like that segment should have been an end point of the movie, kind of the getting to the rising and then falling actions, but it just took so long. And I really didn't enjoy that because the landscape wasn't even pretty. And I felt like when all of the soldiers were, you know, trying to defeat the other Transformers and everything, it looked like Call of Duty 4 or something. It was like, this set is so lame. I really disliked that.
So it didn't need to be 2.5 hours, is that what you're saying?
No. No, I mean, no, definitely not. It was very long, and like I said to you earlier, it didn't feel like it was very long until they got to the Egypt part. I mean, they dragged out the college thing so long, they dragged everything out so long, but then it was like, oh my gosh, just wrap it up. Just mm-hmm. get on with it. But, I mean, whatever, 2.5 hours, if that's what Michael Bay thinks he needs to do, whatever. But, I don't know, and there wasn't much character development with the robots. I mean, not with any of the human characters either, but I felt like the first movie was so much more, not a character piece at all, but at least you got to know all the robots a little bit, and they all had their own little personality quirks.
Comparatively speaking, it was a character
exactly,
character piece.
Exactly. So, not that you can even claim that about either of them, but there was just no depth to any of the characters, and I was... Whatever.
With all that said, you didn't hate it, though.
No, I didn't. It was sort of enjoyable. I mean, I really like the score of the movie, and I think that really kind of gets you into it if you're going to get into it. So
if you aren't offended by Linkin Park, you can roll with it. If I know plenty of people who absolutely hate Linkin Park, oh, yeah. And yeah.
Well, I feel like that's the trademark of Transformers now.
Is pretty that much.
If they make another one, Linkin Park has to be in on it.
Because the opening credit song, I mean the ending credit song, sounds just like the one from the last movie. Yeah. Which, you know, whatever. I don't care personally, but yeah.
Overall, this movie was the same exact plot as the first one, and it wouldn't have mattered if this was the first movie and the first one was the second one. They could have gone either way. Minus Absolutely. A few, you know, scenes establishing characters. Mm-hmm. But it was the same thing. And I think I really ultimately realized that when they were in Egypt and everything. Sorry.
That's okay. Sorry, I had to yawn. Yeah, I will say I liked the fact that Soundwave was in it. I forgot to say that last week because mm-hmm. I'm an old school fan. It had Soundwave. Okay, he didn't turn into a tape recorder, but still, it was cool. And then you had Jetfire with the beard. You know, the only thing he was missing that Optimus Prime was missing at the end was to steal from Film Junk the Autobot beard of leadership.
So, yes, yeah. I saw that. yeah. I thought that he was a cool character. He was a little annoying because he was very loud, and it was like the human characters were so small in comparison to him. He was like, whoa, you're kind of whatever, but it was, I don't know, he was okay.
Yeah.
I really didn't think that the whole teleporting thing was kind of like, wait, what? But it could have been a lot lamer than it was, I think.
It could have, yes. Yes.
The dream sequence was definitely...
Autobot heaven?
Yes. I think that was the lamest part of the movie.
That's fair.
Something that I noticed in the very beginning, one of the Transformers said he could smell something.
Yeah, you could smell the Decepticon while they're hunting for him. Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, so they have sense of smell now, too?
But yet Bumblebee couldn't pick up when that one Decepticon was riding in the car? Yeah, yeah. But, again, you don't go for this for making sense. That's really, you don't.
And I guess I don't remember exactly what Ethan said about Shia's hand.
No, that was Chris.
Oh, well, I think Ethan had something to say about that, too.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess it was when they were being teleported to Egypt, and you see a scene where Shia's like, oh, my hand! And then when he just magically gets it bandaged, and like, oh, Megan Fox just carries, like, bandaging in her boobs or something, like, I don't get
it. Because that's the only place there would be any space to carry anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of silly that they did that. I mean, the least they could have done was show Megan Fox open, like, a little first aid kit and be like, oh, here you go. Anything. So it wasn't just, like, missing.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, whatever.
the next movie is going to reveal that she's actually an Autobot too, and she has a special storage compartment, just leaving it. That went a wrong place. Never mind. I didn't say that. Okay, so what else did you watch? Because we're going to come back to Transformers at the end of the episode. Yeah. We have mail about last week's episode.
Yes. I watched Twilight this week. yeah, I really did. I actually rented it on demand.
Tell me you didn't pay money.
No, it wasn't my money.
Okay.
no, did not. But, I mean, I've read this book. I thought the books were just terribly, terribly boring. There's nothing really redeeming about the book. So I wasn't surprised that the movie wasn't any better. And really, I think coming from the side of an audience that hasn't read a book, hasn't read this book, and they watch it and love it, I want to ask you why. Why do you people love this? If you're a 13-year-old girl, whatever. That's your own agenda. I don't even want to know. But if you genuinely like this movie and you haven't even read the background of this, why do you like it? They leave out so much information. I mean, there's basically nothing happens because you don't even understand the premise of the storyline.
No, that's what
I thought. And I watched this with Josh, and he was just, please, can we turn it off? Please, can we turn... No, we're watching this. We're watching the whole thing. We started this now. And I was actually giving him filler on, oh, well, the reason that Edward just looked like he orgasmed when Bella walked in the room was because he can smell her, and gave him all this background information that they didn't even reveal in the movie, and just was like, what the hell is going on?
And the book sucks anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, the book just...
According to you, I haven't read it. I'll be completely fair. I have no need to read it.
I think if you have very low standards for literature, this book would suit you very fine. But it's just bland, and it's it's 500 pages of crap. I hated it. It was so boring, and I think it took me probably about 3 months to read the book because I just was like not compelled to read this at all.
The only people I've known who've liked it, like personal friends, have been people who are just in the mood for something really trashy, like a soap opera. So, in that respect, they had fun with it.
Very easily compares to. I just felt like it was so bad. I didn't even feel like Kristen Stewart's character was attractive at all. And oh my god, the makeup. Their makeup for the vampires, and even for Bella's character, so overdone. So overdone. It was like, do you think you could look paler? You people are invisible. You're so pale. It just was.
They're actually goth emo kids instead of vampires who just think they're vampires.
Yeah.
On steroids.
You watched that South Park episode. But really, it was just so bad. And I hated the color of the film.
The blue of the grays, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything was kind of bluish greeny. And oh, it was just so bad. It was so bad.
Now, is it so bad that you can't wait to see how bad the second one is, or is it just you're done?
Well, I'm interested because if a different director's doing, which a different director is doing this, the second one, maybe it could be a little bit better. I only read half the second book because that just sucked too, so I stopped. But
I just want to see the fuzzy dog. That's all that I want to see, yeah.
It just really didn't. I think if they had given it some narration or given it some kind of depth, it at least could have made more sense to an audience that doesn't know what's going on with this. The only reason I knew what was even happening with the storyline was because I read the book. And other than that, it was just like, I mean, I remember Josh said something like, oh, so this movie's just going to be like 2 hours of awkward silences? Because that's what Bella and Edward do. They just look at each other and are all weird.
That kind of sums up the movie in a lot of ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it?
I never even thought of that.
I really think so. It was just so awkward, and I think it was actually kind of uncomfortable to watch, because it was like, wow, this acting's so bad. I don't know what's going on, really, and this just looks like crap. It just was not enjoyable, but...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else on your list?
I watched Born After Reading.
Okay.
And I know that you're not a fan. And actually, the first time I ever watched this, I was so confused. I was just like, what the hell was that I just saw? Very confused, but
The special chair? Sorry. That's the one part that I laughed really hard
at. And I always forget about that part, too. And yeah.
I can't ruin that joke for anybody, because it's just something so special.
George Clooney must have really enjoyed that. But I can understand why people don't like this, too, at the same time. I can definitely understand if you're either way. I'm not going to say you're stupid for not liking this, because it. I think it's very particular. And basically the whole premise of the movie is that the plot didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Who cares? And everything is just like, whatever, it's gone. So,
but you dug it.
With that said, I think it's more, even though there could have been more character development, I feel like it's more of a character piece, and everyone has all their special quirks and all their weird things, and even though this, I definitely do not think this is by far Brad Pitt's best performance ever, he just plays weird characters so well.
He does.
And he was just so funny, and but I can't believe that he would sign on to a role like that, considering what happens to his character. Which makes me wonder.
You know what? Having seen Fight Club, having seen 12 Monkeys, all that stuff, the guy's willing to take risks. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but respect that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't always have to exude cool in that Ocean's special kind of way.
Well, exactly. And I think that's why I liked it, because you kind of start to like his character, and
then what happens, happens.
Whatever. Yeah. And, oh my gosh, John Malkovich is just so angry. So
yes.
Angry. And it just, it's just funny, and I don't know. I think that there's something fascinating to me about watching people on screen that can legitimately have a completely broken marriage, and you buy into it, mm-hmm. and having a completely messed up relationship with someone, and just how weird their life was, and how strange his character was, and that, you know, he just quit his job and care and.
Mm-hmm.
Just so weird. So, I don't know. I appreciate it because it is different.
Absolutely. So. And, you know, I enjoy the characters. Mm-hmm. You know, the sum of its parts I'm not a big fan of, but the individual characters I really did like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah,
a lot to like.
I did too. And I think that there's kind of a variety because John Malkovich's wife is just a flat-out bitch. And so you got that character, and then, you know, there's the whole deception with George Clooney and his wife's character. So it's interesting. And then the whole, I don't even know, what were they, CIA people or whatever, the department, the government department.
J.K. Simmons and David Rash.
So funny.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Funny.
Especially at the end. It's just kind of like, yeah, this story's for no good reason at all whatsoever. Which I was okay with.
Yeah. So I liked it.
But. Cool. Right on. Well, then let's go ahead and move on to what came out in theaters this week. Since Barry's dulcet tones are absent, you're stuck with me. I do apologize. This week we have got I Hate Valentine's Day in limited release from the lady who did My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Had no desire to see the first one, no desire to see this one. So, yeah, if you like it, more power to you. Just not me. Yeah. And then in wide release we had Public Enemies and Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs. I know Barry saw Ice Age. Last week, Chris talked about Public Enemies, and it seems to be kind of that general word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of so-so, the mixed thing. But Barry kind of really dug Ice Age. We recorded the thing for Wild 105 last week. And, yeah, he said, you know, the second one really bogged down, but the third one seemed to have picked up speed again. So,
well, I think he said that there was a lot of, not development, but there was a lot of use of the Scrat character and Scrat-ette.
Yes.
And I think that's really what people want to see, so I want to go see it. I don't even think I saw the second one.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, whatever, I'm sure the plot doesn't carry on to the third. But
or if it does, they'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, and then coming on DVD this week, we have got Knowing, Push, which apparently at Walmart you can buy both of them in one pack, which is an interesting
double Push and the
feature.
Knowing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Then The Unborn, Near Dark, Night Train, and it aired on PBS last Wednesday. This Day You Can Own It. American Masters, Garrison Keillor, The Man on the Radio in the Red Shoes. Which it's actually at the top of my Netflix list because I know Barry really dug this even back in November. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see that. And let's see, do you have much news at all, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
All right, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
It was a busy, busy 4th of July week.
It was. It was, and I have in-laws in town and all that fun, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guess I will start off with friend of the website. We haven't done an interview yet because I'm a slacker. David Speltrow, director of Around, has let us know that apparently you can actually watch Around now. It's available for download over at Amazon.com through their on-demand. And eventually it's going to be coming to iTunes, Netflix, DVD, all kinds of ways. So if you want to see it sooner than later, you can catch it on Amazon for on-demand. and I'll have to catch it on Netflix as well. I'm guessing it'll be on Watch It Now, so it'd be nice to watch it again. And that would be cool. Much luck to you, sir. It's well worth checking out. It's a very interesting little independent film. Kristen Bell has come forward and said that I don't think Veronica Mars is ever going to happen as a movie, just because its time has probably passed and people aren't wanting to put the money out for a show that didn't roll in the dough, we'll say, as far as advertisers go. Which I'm kind of sad because I dug the show. I don't know if you ever watched it much. Mm-mm. It's a good show. But the third season kind of fell apart. However, the pilot for the fourth season that they shot was her going to FBI school, which would have been extremely cool. So, bummer. Life happens, though. And for all of us who were hoping that there would not be a Heathers remake, don't worry. Apparently, Winona Ryder was on something or other. But, yeah, no one's doing anything with it. It's not happening. Yippee. And finally, wow, we are cruising through this episode. Funny when there's only two of us. Finally, the passing of Carl Malden. Many people don't know who he is because he really didn't have a whole lot of work. His heyday really was in the 70s and early 80s. He was like on the West Wing during 2000 and several other projects, but he was most known for people in my generation, you know, in your 30s and up, for being the lead in The Streets of San Francisco, which is an awesome cop drama. I remember watching that with my grandparents. Such a good show. But the guy's a great character actor. You see him popping up all over the place, even through the 50s and 60s too. And yeah, he will absolutely be missed. So yeah, let's go ahead and end on that note, but let's take a quick break. And then we shall be right back.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
Mm, a slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
I can't help but laugh at that commercial still. Apparently we have a second one coming soon. I'm not going to rush anyone at all because we still have yet to do a second commercial. So, yeah, we're still kind of writing off the elections from last November. So, yeah, we need to get on that as well.
And actually, Dave, I forgot to mention I did see one more thing last night. The Teacher, which I am sure...
I forgot to... Yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows what this is except for Josh, but...
It's been mentioned a few times on the show.
I know, but... It having just recently watched Twilight and it being so bad, and then watching something like The Teacher that's so bad, but in such a different way, I can completely understand why people actually take their time out of their day to watch this, but I do have to say it kind of worries me that my fiancé is very interested in exploitation films. Yeah.
Fair enough, fair enough. And you know, there is one more news bit that I forgot to mention as well. It's something I called Barry while he was on vacation because he needed to know. Because he mentioned just last week how The Stepfather, it's just such a crime it's not on DVD. Apparently, it is coming October 13th to DVD. So he is very happy. I'm sure many other people are happy. Check it out. I know I will be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this would normally be where your topic is, but we're going to go ahead and skip that this week. We'll be getting back on the trail with Joe Dante next week with Explorers and finishing up the week after with Matinee. Mm, that's such a good movie, too. But before we get to that, we have to talk about what's coming out in theatrical release this week. We've got a whole two movies. It's, you know, this is really kind of diametrically opposed films. You know, we've got the family-friendly film. Teen-friendly, whatever, in I Love You, Beth Cooper, starring Hayden Panettiere, and Bruno, the latest from Sacha Baron Cohen.
Ooh.
Yes. Sure to offend, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you guys are psyched to see this.
So excited.
I look forward to a full report next week.
I think it's actually very short.
Yeah.
I heard it was very short and kind of disappointing because I don't know. I mean, I guess there's only so much you can drag out of a film like that, but
I think it's kind of what South Park went through at one point. There's only so much shock you can do before it just, you kind of get desensitized to it. And now they've taken to becoming a parody, and you know, South Park has done very well at that. I'm just hoping that, you know, this kind of does is able to pull the same thing off. Mm-hmm. And next week's DVDs, we've got some really good stuff and some complete crap. Wow, it's just about half and half for what we got on the list. First of all, the Spanish sensation from a couple of years ago, Wreck, the ultimate zombie claustrophobic survival horror film. It is so good. Well worth checking out. It's actually better than Quarantine because Wreck is a little bit sloppier looking, which it needed in that case. Quarantine was just a little bit too slick looking, I think. Up next, I don't know if you watch Mad Men at all.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you need to.
I've seen a few episodes of that.
That's such a good show.
Very weird to sit down and watch one episode of that and be like, wait, what is this?
Because nothing really happens. It's kind of a soap opera, but it's so engrossing.
Yeah, not having been familiar with the material, it's a little odd.
Well, the first season's already out. Mm-hmm. It's, well, worth checking out.
Is that an HBO thing, too? Or?
That is actually American Movie Classics.
Okay, I thought.
They're kind of starting to do their own thing between that and then the remake and The Prisoner and all that fun stuff. But Mad Men Season 2, which is also equally excellent, is coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. You need to watch that. I think you'd dig it. Then we've also got The State, the complete series, MTV's classic sketch comedy show with such things as $240 worth of pudding and other things that I can't really mention on the air without getting an explicit tag. I already had to do a lot of bleeping with all the F-bombs last week, so I'll leave that alone. But the MTV classic is coming out on DVD. It's all good. And for all you Terry Pratchett fans out there, you know, I talked about this right before Christmas. It came out on DVD in the UK and I imported it. Terry Pratchett's The Color of Magic, which is actually a combination of both of his first two books in the Discworld series, which is The Color of Magic and The Light Fantastic, starring Tim Curry, Samwise Gamgee, why am I missing? Sean Astin, and several other people. It's very well done. It's well worth checking out. I'm glad it's finally come out in the U.S. If you're a Pratchett fan and you like good fantasy, you'd need to see this. That's really all there is to it. In the same vein as The Hogfather, but a bit more story. Yeah. So that's the good.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to the crap. First of all, we've got The Haunting in Connecticut with that is the 1 and 2 disc DVD. I don't know why you'd want that. Granted, I don't know why you'd want Van Wilder Freshman Year either, because that, you know, one was enough. Actually, one was almost too much in many ways.
I did not like that movie.
Yeah. But that is, those two films are high art compared to Hangin' Tough Live. That's right, New Kids on the Block. That's right, all you 40-year-old girls, because you're girls still if you like New Kids on the Block, I'm just saying. You can squeal with envy, or if you're the vicar, it's all good. That's those are some bad movies coming out.
Not going to see any of those.
Any of those three? No. Fair enough. No. All right, well, let's wrap this bad boy up. But before we get there, we have some email. We've always made a point of letting anyone say what's on their mind pretty much. Sometimes there are repercussions to saying what you have on your mind. So, kind of bummed that not everyone's here to hear this, but it's all good. I'm sure we'll talk to you about it next week. This is from Chris over at the Jesus Geeks, good friend to Screen Geeks. It says, hey, Dave. About the review for Transformers 2, may offer a suggestion. I have no problem with you and your cohorts attacking the movie. This is in reference to Transformers 2. But when people on your show start attacking the audience who enjoyed the movie, I think it went too far. Was the movie perfect? Absolutely not. Did I and my friends have a fun time with it? Yes. It was a fun day. Church, lunch at my place, rewatching the first movie, then going to the drive-in and having a blast hanging out with friends before the movie, and then ending the evening with a movie that delivered exactly what we expected and had fun with it. There were some comments made on the show that sounded like they were talking down to the fans of the movie, and I think that went too far. So express your criticism, but lay off the movie. So express your criticism of the movie, but lay off the audience. And that is from Chris. I think that's a bit legit, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you can back up why you like something legitimately, fine.
Yeah, it's all good.
And I really just, Transformers wasn't that bad.
It's not worth fighting over here. We're not talking about Nazism or something here.
I just think it could have been so much more obvious. I thought everything was going to be so much more obvious with how offensive it was projected to be, but I really didn't think it was nearly as offensive as I was expecting. Maybe everyone just ruined my expectations, and had I seen this not hearing anyone's agenda about it, I would have thought differently. But I enjoyed it.
And that's fair. I think as a result of this movie in particular, critics are going so far out of their way to insult people who have liked this movie that we're going to start losing audience. People are going to say, look, if you think that little of me because I don't like a movie, I'm just not going to listen to you anymore. Mm-hmm. And some people are going to be like, great, they'll hit you in the butt on the way out. But at the same time, if we're all a community, then we're a community. And everyone likes the same thing.
To like whatever it is that you want to like.
Because Transformers came out does not mean that The Godfather Part 2 was never released, which is really considered by a lot of people to be one of the best movies of all time. Mm-hmm. We still have the great stuff. Just because the masses, and I don't mean that in a pejorative term or anything like that, but the audience has spoken. The masses of America have gone to see this movie, the tune of, I'm sure it's up to $300 million by now. And if that's what it is, that's what it is. It's really not our place. We can say, yes, you deserve, we can say you deserve a better movie. And that's fine, but when you start talking down to someone, I think it might be crossing the line a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think for the general population of America that sees this movie, clearly it has made its money for a reason, because people enjoy this.
Yeah.
Because people want this. And yeah, maybe going back to what Ethan has said, it's stupid that America wants just like crazy robots and sexy girls all over the place, but I mean, maybe Michael Bay knows how to make money for a movie, and that's what a studio wants, so that's why you're getting this movie.
And I just looked it up. The movie has made just a shade under $300 million, so it's crossing that threshold pretty easily. I think the thing that we as quote-unquote movie critics, because honestly, I'll be the first to admit that I've never went to school for this. This is me as a lover of film and a fan. We have to understand that the movie-going public at large does not look at film as an art form necessarily. They want to be entertained with a good story, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. It's like people who will go read the Dan Brown books, you know, not Omega Code. Wow, that's making even that's an insult to the Da Vinci Code. But those kind of books, as opposed to reading, you know, the great pieces of literature, you know, not everyone wants that. This is showing what everyone wants, you know, for better or worse. It's what it is. And we can do our best to try to point people to better film, but you never can get through that by insulting someone. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
I think the reason this movie makes so much money is because of children, and even though it's not necessarily appropriate.
It's so children, not appropriate for
I
kids.
Mean, I have seen kids' birthday stuff, you know, plates and napkins, all that shebang for kids' birthdays, Burger King commercials with kids with Transformers toys. They market this so much to kids and families, and maybe people really do think this is like a family film now, which I don't agree with at all. I think you should go see that stupid Eddie Murphy movie or something instead of this for a family film. But I'm sure that it makes so much money because people are going to take their kids to this, and it's a family affair. It's not a rated R, so
yeah.
It has a wider audience range. And I think maybe kids won't really get how offensive it could be, and they just enjoy the robot thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a very good point as well. Yeah. So thank you for your email, Chris. I'm sure we'll talk more about it next week. If you'd like to shoot us an email, by all means do. You can email us at podcasts, Dave, Melissa, Ethan, Josh, or Barry at ScreenGeeks.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can give us a call at 719-553-5664. And yeah, we'll wrap this one up a little bit sooner than the last, you know, two-hour episodes that we've been having lately. But we'll be back next week. We'll be talking Joe Dante's Explorers with Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix. It shall be a good time. But until then, this is Dave.
And Melissa.
Take it easy.